I have to give you fair warning. This is probably the shortest sermon that I have ever written. And just to show you how well I know you all, when I wrote that in my manuscript, I put, in brackets, wait for mock applause. Don't think I don't have your number. And the reason why is because I had originally written a longer piece, and it all talked about the Levites and the need to keep the sacred center of camp pure and why that was so important and everything. And as I was writing the whole thing, I'm like, I don't like this. It just didn't feel right. And when I got to Friday and did my second draft, which is when I go put all the image tags in and stuff, I've very rarely written a post. Am I on, by the way? I've very rarely written a sermon and just looked at it, was disgusted with it. I threw about two-thirds of it out. So you're getting about the last third of the sermon. Because it's what deals with what we really wanted to talk about. All the other, I'll give you the longer one. You can see that I actually did my work this week. But I'm warning you right now, it's not good. It's okay. This last bit that we're talking about is interesting because it starts with a question. Why on earth would we read a passage based on the tabernacle? You know what the tabernacle is? It's that big tent mobile sanctuary that the Israelites carried around with them in the desert and what they used to worship at before they built the temple. Why, when we're talking about our property circle, do we talk about this big tent that they used to have to carry around? And the reason's very simple, because we're dealing with property today. It's because our idea of people who take care of shared sacred space really springs from this idea of the Levites. Levi's Buttonfly, right? 501s. So that's where this all springs from. The Levites cared for the tabernacle. They provided maintenance for it. When it needed to be packed up and moved, they were the one that did that. They kept track of all the sacred instruments. You read in the passage today that they guarded it from intrusion. And for people who defiled of it, they put them to death. This is their hardcore back then. And this really is where our idea of people who care for our sacred shared space springs from. Now, what this does not mean is that if someone changes a light bulb or weeds the grounds without asking permission first, that we have a group of people who summarily put them to death, which Amanda is very, very pleased about at this point, right? And in our circumstances, the putting to death is not so much physical as it is metaphorical, because we've all had encounters in churches or in other organizations where there were trustees and this was their space, and man, you tread on a spot that you're not supposed to tread, they will annihilate you verbally, right? Anybody ever met somebody like that? Didn't need to be in a church. It can be anywhere, right? We know people like this. So that mentality still exists. But this is not where our idea of having a property circle goes to. It also does not mean that we have a group of people who surround the church building and tell people that they're not allowed to come in because this is for God's people only. Even Boy Scouts, we don't want them here, right? This is not why we have a property circle. It's not to envelop the building, our shared property, and keep everybody else out. That's not it. So that's nice, right? So what on earth does this mean? Why are we talking about the tabernacle, and how on earth does our property circle spring from this idea of the Levites? Well, in this passage, something interesting happens. It reminds us that a congregation, if it's going to grow, any congregation, a gathering of people, what we now call a community, right? If it's going to grow, if it's going to be strengthened, if it's going to develop a deeper identity amongst oneself, that they need to have shared space. They absolutely have to have it. So sports fans have this, right? The mecca of football, we go to the frozen tundra in Green Bay. Eagles fans have the link. The few Sixers fans that exist go back down to whatever they're calling, the Wells Fargo Center, right? So, but that's a shared space. It's a big gathering place where We're all there for one purpose, and we get to cheer on the thing that we want to cheer for. This is the same exact thing that happens for us as Christians in the church. We have a shared space. What we do when we gather here matters. It teaches us and guides us to strengthen our ties that bind one another together, and it helps us to learn more from one another about what it means to be a disciple of this Jesus we all claim to worship. Here is where we make room for one another. Here is where we grow. And that passage out of 1 Corinthians that we read today shows what happens when we don't treat the shared space well. Things go all wonky. You know, you got some people getting drunk. You got some people are going hungry because, you know, and I love the way that Sadie read it, right? Some of you obviously have to show that you have God's approval. Of course, we've all been at churches where we have people who do that too, right? I will show that I have God's approval and all those other people there. We're not treating the shared space well. So that's why we have our shared property. It's to develop that community together. That's why we need caretakers of it who make this a shared space we actually want to come to. So when you think about the folks who make up our property circle, the core and everybody else, when they are cleaning the building or when they are overseeing repairs or when they are making sure that the heat is on, man, it was working today, Jim. You know, when all these things are happening, when we're taking care of the yard and the building and preparing this place for the change of seasons, that is actually sacred work. Every bit as important as what the Levites were doing for that mobile sanctuary thousands upon thousands of years ago. When our property circle is caring for our shared space and making this a place that we actually want to be a part of, it becomes ours. And our identity that ties us together strengthens. Our understanding of God and faith and service is born from what we do in this shared space. And that is a good thing. See, we often think of spiritual gifts, if you think about it at all, as coming from the list that actually comes out of that letter to 1 Corinthians that Paul wrote, where Paul lists, you know, there's some people who are apostles, and then there's prophets, and there's teachers, and all these wonderful things. Pastors love this because all our gifts are at the top. So we're like, yes, those are spiritual gifts. We rule, right? That's the idea. But I want you to understand something. What the folks do who care for this property is every bit as important a spiritual gift as what I do up here, or as what the choir does when they sing, or the Sunday school teachers do when they teach their classes. And what the neat thing is that when they offer this gift up, they offer it to God, not for themselves, but on behalf of all of us. And then it turns around and it does something just incredibly beautiful. It blesses not only God, it doesn't bless only our community, it blesses the people we invite to come in. They see this as a shared space that is worth being part of. Sacred work gets done and the wonders of God go out. What a beautiful thing. So when we think about how we use this space, think if we have good facilities, well, then we do a pizza bash. And people like the pizza bashes, right? Chris is clapping. Yay, Chris, right? Pizza bash. Two slice roll right out the window. Or, because we have a lot of musical talent, there's been people who say, well, we need to host a concert. Absolutely. Why not an art show? Why not other things that go on? Because this is our shared space to share the love of Christ together. When we take care of it well, we're afforded that opportunity. That's a wonderful and a beautiful thing. The best thing about it, though, is this. See, the Levites were a particular tribe in ancient Israel. They ran things. They ran the sacred center of their camp. Everybody had to be around them, right? And for often times in church's history, not this central, but all around, there have been people, man, they run things. Over at Sacred Heart Church, my friend Scott Perry, you do not touch anything in the building under penalty of being of having a Scott unleashed at you. It's a very, I love my Scott. He's a great guy, but don't do that. But see, in our the way that we're doing the property circle, it's not just limited to just the folks who are members only. Particularly because we're a Baptist church, we believe that this is all of our space and that we are all ministers of the gospel and are required to care for our shared property. What we do in working with our property circle is we let them take point. They guide us. They oversee things. But we get to understand that the responsibility of caring for the space that we share together is something that we all must undertake so that when there is a cleanup day, we all come. When the leaves got to get sucked up, blown out, and moved, I don't know all the things they were using last week, we don't think, well, I'm not there. No, this is our space. We need to take care of the pews or clean a floor or do something. This is our space. And when we think of it, we don't think of it as, well, I'm doing their job. No, we think of it as we're taking care of this spot that we've said our community will dwell so that we can be a blessing far beyond it. We can all and are all called to it. And when we follow it, the glory of God gets seen. So be thankful for the folks who take point on this caring for this property and join them in their work, that we might use this space more and more for the proclamation of the gospel. Amen. Told you it was short. You know?